Good morning. Today is Friday, January the 28th. Jeez, we're that far along already. Joining us this morning from, well, do we say, can we, can't even say HSU anymore, can we?
No, we can't.
All right. Jen Capps, Provost of?
Cal Poly Humboldt.
Okay, Cal Poly. Yeah. Okay, so we go Cal Poly SLO, Cal Poly Pomona, Cal Poly Humboldt. I guess, you know, give it a couple decades, it'll flow.
Yeah.
It'll be there.
I think it'll be quicker than that.
Oh, she thinks we're all quick learners. Uh-huh.
I have faith.
Well, I'll tell you about the Cal State Humboldt attempt.
Okay.
A couple decades ago. That one died.
All right.
All right. Are you ready for Why Do We Say That?
I'll give it a shot. Go
all
for
righty.
It.
Off the wall. Why do we say off the wall?
I have no earthly idea.
No, okay.
Enlighten me.
Why do we sometimes say a really unusual piece of artwork or a ridiculous plan is off the wall? Because a wall is essential to several popular games, notably squash and handball. In them, as well as in racquetball, a bounce from the wall is influenced by speed, spin, and angle. Even a veteran player cannot always estimate what direction a ball will take. Like a ball bouncing at a weird angle, a plan or activity may be so unpredictable that it, too, is described as being...
off the wall.
There you go.
And you learn something new every day.
Yeah, we try. Oh, so what was the final step in the process to get the formal blessing? I know you didn't have to go to the bishop to get the blessing, so...
not quite.
How did you have to go through the final stages to get the everything to come together?
Yeah, it required two presentations actually in front of the Board of Trustees of the Cal State system. And so we did our first meeting presentation in November, and then the second presentation was earlier in the week, and it required an action item of the Cal State system to officially change our name and designate us a polytechnic.
So you were on the agenda kind of thing?
Yeah, we were official, like, and everything. It was a big deal. So.
What was the revisiting? I mean, in November, you make the presentation.
Yeah.
They just kind of look at it and go, eh, okay, everything seems like it's in order. Hooray, hooray, final step. Thank you very much. And you get the FedEx note saying, here's your new logo.
Something like that. It's a lot of in terms of official government board education items, it requires providing the information, giving people time to think about it, and then another time to go in front so that then they actually vote. But essentially, it's to provide information and what the purpose is and what our plan was.
Did anybody take issue?
Not even close. People were over the moon excited. We had students.
Really?
Yeah, it was an incredible moment. It was absolutely, people were doing backflips nearly. But there's two student trustees that sit on that board who had put their background up as Humboldt, was wearing swag at Humboldt. They don't go to Humboldt, not yet anyway. They go to other CSUs. Oh, so
okay.
Yeah, so no, not even a little bit. People were really complimentary of our area and of all the work that local businesses, external partners, students, faculty, staff, everybody, just people are jazzed about us.
Were the other two polytechs in your camp also saying, yeah, we got too many, we need help, this is great guns, bring them on board?
Yes. I know, there's no controversy here. Like, you're like, what's the controversy? There wasn't any. They were thrilled.
How weird is that?
I know. Like, we were all on the same team, kind of rowing together. But no, they're thrilled because Cal Poly Pomona and Cal Poly SLO have lots and lots of students, and they can't take them all. And students are looking for degrees with hands-on experience, practical application, career-ready stuff. And we already had a lot of that anyway. It's really, we are offering new programs, but it's also rebranding our institution to reflect the stuff that we already offer.
Kind of almost just like an evolution rather than a revolution.
Oh, see? Oh, I might steal that, okay? Yeah. But, yeah. So I think people sometimes are a little confused about who we are, and we're just trying to get it out there. All the cool stuff we have.
Now, one of the challenges I know that initially was voiced was, does this mean that it's not the Lumberjacks anymore?
Good question.
The logo and because there have been attempts in the past.
Yeah.
Not successful, but not very hard either maybe we shouldn't be talking about cutting down trees.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's sacred territory for some folks.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's interesting you bring that up. That was brought up when we were talking about this whole piece about changing the name of the university, and folks wanted to also take a look at the name, the mascot name. And we decided to pull those two things out separately because the changing our name of the university required that board action. Changing the name of a mascot doesn't. It requires a lot of conversation amongst alumni, campus folks, everything. And so that's sort of part two, to take a look at that, if that's really a thing or not. And I have heard year over year, probably every couple of years, it comes back up and it's something. And thus far, it hasn't made it too far. But
yeah, not a lot of traction with it, but there's always the vocal super minority that always wants to.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. And so I think our plan is to hear from folks and see if it really is something that people want to talk a little bit more about yet. We're not sure.
So. Yeah, it's interesting what gets people fired up. Yeah, to me, I would think it would be curriculum.
Right?
I would think it'd be the economic impact, the structural stuff. Are there going to be parking lots or that kind of stuff, rather than worrying about some of the putting attention, focus, and energy into some of the other areas that sometimes get attention.
I think the $458 million investment in our school helped to make those things, while very important, the curriculum, we're working on facilities and infrastructure and parking, people are like, oh, well, at least we have some resources to get that stuff done. So that's feeling a little bit better to folks.
Now, there was a news story earlier this week, and I couldn't really follow it because the references, you know, my references are now about 35 years old.
All right.
But the daycare center is kind of, is that the old hospital that's right along 14th?
I'm not sure. We have a daycare center on campus, like a child center on campus.
But then there was going to be an expansion of it or a relocation of it. And I thought, you know, boy, how cool if all of the facilities are starting to get attention and upgraded instead of being forgotten and just kind of almost not mothballed, because that would imply somebody was paying attention to them.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, everything, there's a great, we have all these different planning groups. I won't bore you with all the details, but there is one subgroup of a facilities planning group that's called Team Domino, which I love. And it's really about that. It's like, we do this, then it impacts this, then it impacts this, and how everything fits together to try to help kind of build up and address everything. So,
well, you know, and it sounds a lot more professional than Team Ripple.
Right, exactly. Right?
If we're looking at the waves hitting the shore.
Yep.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Jen Capps from Humboldt State. Can I say Humboldt State?
No, it's Cal Poly Humboldt.
Can't even, the state is gone?
Ah.
Okay.
Okay, California State Polytechnic University, or for short,
Cal
Poly Humboldt.
Oh, good Lord, is that really what it is?
Just remember Cal Poly Humboldt.
Yeah, okay.
Humboldt, you can even just say Humboldt. It'll take a while to stick, but not too long, I don't think.
One of the things when businesses change focus, change names, change ownership, is the myriad of things that people don't think about. Letterhead, emails, websites, all references to marketing materials, signage, I would suspect that about half that 458 is going to go towards that.
Hopefully not that much. But I will say, we felt like we were at the national championship game, right? And we won the championship T-shirts printed, but we had them in hiding just in case. So a lot of that was actually true for like our website and different announcements and stuff that went live yesterday, because you have to be prepared. So stuff is already shifting, but it's a lot again.
Same colors?
Yep.
Okay, so at least we recognize some of the stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You bet.
It's a really a Herculean task, though, to go through that. You get the 90%. Okay, everybody's there. But it's all the other ones that pop up in 2 years or 3 years or 5 years. You go, what the? How? What?
Yes, it is a lot. It's a lot, but it's exciting. It's really exciting. I think everybody yesterday sort of, yesterday or the day before, took a big kind of deep breath, sigh of relief, and was like, oh my gosh, we kind of did this. And now the work keeps coming. We keep going, right?
For those of us outside the campus environment, how long did this take? I mean, is this a major, major? I mean, the money certainly is major, major.
Sure.
For us. But the process, the concept, going through that, is this like a career-defining moment? Is it something that's kind of cool for the decade? Is where in the scope of things, what is this, the magnitude of this?
Yeah. Oh, I think it's once in a lifetime kind of thing. I mean, it is a huge, I mean, if you look around at how often a state has invested $458 million into an institution, you don't see much evidence of that happening.
Even the major, like
no.
Berkeley? What is Berkeley getting each year, just as a reference point?
I have absolutely no idea, but it isn't just like on top of the normal funding, an additional 450. It's like unheard of. And so what I would say is that there's been talk for years, I think, about amongst the faculty, particularly, I want to give them some credit about maybe we are more of a polytechnic, but, you know, for whatever reason, it didn't.
Oh, a self-actual realization kind of?
Yeah, because of all of the cool science programs and different things, all the learn by doing. And then our president came in about 2.5 years ago and really started some conversations with our former chancellor, and it took wind a little bit. And then really it has been in the last year and a half that this actualized, which is incredibly quick for higher education.
Yeah, the timeline seems either compressed or somebody was behind the curtain doing some really cool things to help make this thing happen.
It's a Herculean effort by everybody involved. Truly, it is it happened so fast, and and not even just so fast, and by making everybody do stuff. Like what I mean by that is that it was a collaborative process. It wasn't just ordering people around. We all got together, got on the same team, and moved forward in a really amazing way. And here we are. So
somehow that's so refreshing. I mean, you think about either the history of the school interaction with the community issues periodically.
Absolutely.
Or just the power challenges of having any kind of an organization the size of Humble. Well, I want to have, and everybody wants to have their perspective put in concrete. And But it's, everybody kind of came together. Was there any one magic? I mean, did everybody go to a party and you'd put something in the punch to get everybody there? Or was it just kind of a, okay, fine approach?
Well, let me be clear.
And then the work starts.
Right? Let me be clear. I mean, we had a lot of hard conversations, and there are a lot of people that had different perspectives. Believe me, it was not all perfect by any means, but I really appreciated people's willingness to compromise, say their piece, and go, but we've got to move ahead for our region. The campus.
Also, they didn't drive spikes in the floor on this. They just said their piece so that they, could have that incorporated somewhere in the
absolutely
process.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think people knew that we had been struggling with enrollment, and knew that there are students that are wanting these degrees, and we could offer them, and we had a solution to the problem, and we put together that plan, and the state gave us resources to execute. So
now, there had been a rumor circulating a couple years ago that because Humboldt was so far away, Chico being the closest, or Sonoma State, that, tough times, low enrollment, cut the cord, and thank you very much, and we just kind of forget about it. Was that the spur to get this thing going, or was that just kind of a rumor that really was never seriously considered?
Yeah, I don't know if I've heard the rumor myself. I don't know how serious that was ever considered. I do think all of those things and those concerns were true. It's like there was such kind of bad enrollment and, though, a recognition that there needed to be some institute of higher learning in this area, because there's really, besides College of the Redwoods, nothing around here. So it was sort of that push-pull, like the university is struggling, but we can't take it away because then it would provide limited access or no access to higher ed. And so what can we do? And I think this helped to kind of spark a change.
Yeah. Well, we do have the School of Hard Knocks.
There's that, too.
Yeah. I think a lot of us have advanced degrees there, too, just kind of on the side.
Absolutely.
It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
I know.
Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Jen Capps from Cal Poly Humboldt.
You got it. Third time's a charm.
CPH. Kind of sounds like a basketball player.
Yeah, we're not going to do CPH. We're just going to do Cal Poly Humboldt.
Good deal.
Humboldt. Yep.
Yeah. With all of the challenges that were associated with getting the designation, now there's the celebration.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then there's the real hard work
that
gets to happen.
Right.
What kind of timeline are the various entities operating under to really make it a poly?
Yeah.
Instead of just having the new sign out in front.
Fair question. There's lots of moving parts. There is, our plans to launch 8 new bachelor's degree programs in the fall of 2023, 1 new master's program, and 3 new certificates. So that work is in progress, and particularly our faculty are really busting their butts to get that through at the finish line, and so super excited about that. There's also the various timelines around infrastructure, so academic buildings, housing structures, both on campus and off campus, with associated parking and those pieces. And that's sort of immediate things. How can we kind of work with community to leverage additional housing options, as well as long, kind of mid-range and long-term sort of building structures, right, to house more folks, both our students as well as our workforce, and being able to do some of that in partnership with health systems, because I know part of the reason that they struggle to attract doctors and nurses and folks is lack of places to live, right, among other things.
You've heard about that. What a shocker.
Having worked in healthcare, I know it intimately, so yes. Yeah.
Oh, so as this starts to happen, are there phased rollouts with this, or with these 8 new degrees, okay, guys, everybody 18 months, I want to see the syllabus in 14, let's go.
It's already done. We're in the works. It takes a good year and a half to kind of, you have to set things, I won't bore you with the bureaucracy, but in order to kind of, in order to get things into the Cal State system so that prospective students can see the programs to apply, it really has to hit that system a year early, so then the application cycle, they can see that the program exists, right? In the meantime, we have to get the faculty here, build out the curriculum, do recruitment, that sort of stuff. But then we have really 3 phases. It's sort of with 2023, 2026, and 2029 for kind of the academic programs. And then the infrastructure sort of building is a 10 to 20 year process, with the first kind of major housing project to go up in 2024.
Oh, so you do have to deal with the State Department of Architecture.
Perhaps. Perhaps.
Yeah, okay. It's not just the County of Humboldt.
Yes.
All right. Attracting faculty.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that there are 2 scenarios that would be plausible. The first one is where? Huh? And the other one is Polytech? Game on. not too much in between. Is that, are either of those fair representations?
Yes, I'd say both are fair, with a sort of an addendum to your first part. So the Polytechnic is a big draw for people. There's some prestige associated with that. Oftentimes higher ed types and even prospective students understand what that means, and that helps them in their career and those types of things. I have to admit, when I saw this job offering for this provost position now 2 years ago, I read it and I was like, where is Humboldt? Like, I didn't even know it was associated with the CSU system, hence the problem with the name, maybe.
Right.
But then, you know, some people are like, no, read about it. Read about where, and I started to look. I was like, wow, this is an amazing place. It's beautiful. There's the forest. There's the ocean. There's really neat stuff going on. And I was hooked. So I feel like people need the introduction to where it is and how amazing this place is, and then people do get hooked. But it's
kind of like fly them in and then, okay.
Yeah.
You know, here's your taxi cab, go.
Yeah. Right. So, I think it attracts certain, you know, kinds of folks. So, and I think it syncs well with our institution, with respect to people that like to be outside and who care about things like the environment, agriculture and fitness and just, you know, local stuff, you know, like that local feel and rural. I mean, you have to like kind of being out there.
Yeah, if you're looking for neon.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it might be in the chem lab, and that's about all she wrote.
Exactly. So, So knowing your audience and knowing how to recruit folks, and I think we're really trying to work through that too.
A lot of the businesses that are in the area that are, I'll call them chain. We are a stepping stone. Either it's the new kids and they get to cut their teeth here, and then they go to places where there's more chance for either career development or compensation. Or they just love the area and they're just going to stay here.
Right.
Does the same thing happen to academics?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I think, I don't think people... Again, I think people come here and they get hooked, and I think particularly in some of the things that are attached to the region, like forestry and marine biology and wildlife, like this is like the quintessential, like great place to go for that kind of stuff. But I think that piece about the stepping stone, sometimes people go here and then they maybe go somewhere else. I think we experience that a lot with our students. They get degrees and then they're like, well, there's nowhere to work with my degree, so I'm going to leave the area.
Right.
So aligning, but now I think with this kind of new Polytechnic designation and really trying to align our academic programs with what the region and different business owners are saying, could you please train folks in these things so they can stay here and have a job? Because many folks would stay if the jobs were here, is what at least our research found.
Yeah, with the compensation.
Yes.
That isn't necessarily Humboldt County compensation.
Agreed.
That's all part of the challenge too. And I don't know how you can push that without having economic activity. And now there's starting to be some of the economic activity. And you know, look around. Maybe we get to participate in the recovery from the 2008-2009 recession.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and I also think that is really was one of the big selling points with why invest in Cal Poly Humboldt is to stimulate the North Coast economy, that this has been a bit of a depressed region, and it would be and Humboldt is one of the biggest employers in the area, and how could we help to connect with the different businesses and kind of stimulate the economy? So
yeah, it's triple witching hour.
Yeah, right?
It all works.
It does.
KINS News and Information Time is 8:42.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with 4 airlines going to 7 cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right. You can fly on AHA, American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Reno, and Las Vegas. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable. So book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46 on this Friday morning. Joining us is Jen Capps from Humboldt. See?
You got a chance.
I didn't just say Humboldt.
That's it. So,
okay.
California State Polytechnic that place University, on the hill. Humboldt. Cal Poly Humboldt or Humboldt.
Yeah.
You got it. Right?
Was this project why you were brought on?
it certainly was something that attracted me to the institution. So I'd say perhaps. You'd have to ask the president that. I'm not entirely sure.
You get a how-to booklet on your desk. And
right.
It give you a sense of accomplishment rather than, now what am I going to do? And you're wondering what's next. No, this is job one, and then we'll worry about job two after we get through this process.
Yeah, I have to admit I'm not attracted to things that are perfect and everything's humming along. I'm attracted to
things where... That's why you keep coming back.
Oh, exactly. But you could see the excellence here, and you could see that there was an opportunity, but things weren't quite aligned. And I could see the vision, and I could see the opportunity, and... It's near the water, too, so that didn't hurt. Sorry, but it's true.
No, that ocean out there does score points for
yes, it does.
A lot of reasons.
It does. But it was an attractive kind of opportunity to see that pathway and work with great people to get us there.
So you've got another 6 or 7 years before this is kind of up and humming at that point. Is this going to be the sole focus, or are there other things that are going to be occurring during this period of time, either to make this better or just, you can't ignore the other departments.
Oh, of course not. And we're not. I mean, I think what's built into the plan, I mean, we're hiring, we have calls out to hire 29 tenure track faculty, including 2 librarians in that. And that's in all areas. That's certainly investing in engineering faculty and computer science, but it's also music and art and Native American studies. So all across the board. So making sure that we have comprehensive and robust offerings at the institution, because it's important.
Are there any of the departments that are going to be de-emphasized, or are those resources folded into some of the others?
I'm glad you asked that, because everybody asks me that. It must mean that you're doing...
Well, then never mind if everybody's asking.
No, please. No, people assume that if we're going to focus or align our identity with Polytech, that must mean that we're going to get rid of fill-in-the-blank something, and that's not it at all. I think what we really are seeking to do is figure out there have been some programs that students aren't enrolling in anymore. And it doesn't mean that those courses or those programs are not valuable, but why aren't students enrolling in them, and how can we shift perhaps the focus or restructure the curriculum to attract more students?
Beef those programs up also.
You bet.
I would think that there would be a synergy.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of excitement. Okay, but here's, I would use radio as an example, but I know that's a sore point.
It's a good example.
Bring up, marketing or accounting that has been okay. But it certainly hasn't been super stellar, and that's not the calling card for the school.
Right.
Now I can still say school.
You absolutely can. All right. Got it.
To maybe drag them up and along also, and either an infusion of enthusiasm, if not financial resources, or whatever it takes, because now I would think the standard of expectation is significantly higher when somebody thinks about going to Humboldt rather than what it was, say, 5 years ago.
Yeah, I think that's all true. And I think that just the interest in the word is getting out there in a much broader way across the state and actually nationally. A lot of national media outlets picked up the story about us. Like, people are hearing about us. I know. So I think that's really cool. But really the bottom line is, with more students coming and more kind of brand marketing out there, students don't come to a polytechnic only for polytechnic things, right? I mean, I came
it's still
from
a school,
right? I came from the land of Virginia Tech. I came from Virginia, and most of my friends went to Virginia Tech and didn't major in anything tech. But they were such a strong institution, had great enrollment and great fundraising and all those things, that they were able to do lots of things well. So it was good for everybody.
Yeah, it's.
I can never do the expression right, but...
It's interesting. No, I mean, you say Virginia Tech to a lot of folks.
Yeah.
They think football or basketball.
Okay.
Okay. But when you say revenue, there's a bunch of stuff coming through there. And for Humboldt to be able to participate in that perception...
Absolutely.
That everybody's going to be excited. Everybody's going to be benefiting. This is cool stuff. I would think the only blowback would be the guys that don't want economic development in the area.
Yeah.
And I think they may be kind of steamrolled on this one.
Perhaps. Yeah. People don't realize that we, for such a small institution, at least for now within the CSU system, we produce a ton of research dollars, a lot of fundraising dollars. There's a lot that we contribute in a way that is much bigger than actually the size of our institution. So we're players in a lot of spaces, and I think that's just going to amplify.
Yeah. And it's probably endemic in a small town community like what we have, that the school needs to be.
Right. Absolutely.
And the community needs the school to be. So, you know, some of those jealousies that may be in other markets.
Yeah, definitely.
Quite that way here.
Yeah, one thing I think that I love about the direction we're going in, and one faculty member says it so well, it's about kind of science serving society. So how can we as an institution connect with the community? What are the problems? What are the issues that are facing the community? And how can we partner together to help make the community better?
Well, good job done for January.
Ah.
Now we'll see what February brings.
Oh,
huh?
My goodness. It's going to be hard to top that.
Very cool. Well, enjoy the weekend. It's supposed to be a good one. Maybe you'll even get your toes wet.
Absolutely. That's the plan.
All right. See everybody on Monday.
Thank you.